And I would sit there and I would eat like ice cream, you know, with a whole gallon. I would just sit there with a spoon and then I would look and suddenly I could see the bottom of the ice cream container. And I would just like, and I would sit there going, you know, what am I doing? But I was powerless to break away because I didn't know how to fix my life and I didn't know how to make things better for myself.
That's today's guest, Helen, and this is Tips of the Scale, episode 78.
Welcome to tipsofthescale.com, your home for weight loss motivation. Tune in every week for weight loss success stories from around the world and for expert tips on diet and exercise. And now, your host, Sam Lamelli.
Hey, Scale Warriors, welcome to episode 78. Today's guest is Helen M. Ryan. Helen has been featured in Shape Magazine, on the Huffington Post. Helen has an awesome story, a lot of ups and downs in here that made her story something I think a lot of people can relate to. She had a lot of great insights and shared some fantastic food recommendations. I had a great time talking to her, and I hope you enjoy this interview. You can find the show notes for our conversation at tipsofthescale.com/78 or scale.fm/78. I'm happy to introduce my guest today. This is Ms. Helen M. Ryan from Southern California. Helen, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to spend with us here at Tips of the Scale. As I was saying before the recording, this is something that I'm very passionate about, and I couldn't do it without people like you who are awesome enough to share some of your time and open up and share your story and help the thousands of people around the world who listen to this show. So if you would, Helen, take a minute and help us get to know you a little bit more. Tell us about you.
Well, I am pushing 50. I'm 48 years old. About 10 years ago, I was almost 200 pounds and I'm 5 feet tall. I wore a size 20. I changed my life around. I had a business. I had two little kids. And I just, you know, kind of got caught up in that whole life of parenting. And I there were other reasons, but I let myself go. And so I've changed my life around. I became a personal trainer and also a spinning instructor. And I have written a book to help other people, kind of like tell them about my journey and what I found worked for me. Yeah. I'm a firm believer in balance and, you know, just living your life while you're trying to get healthier.
Right on. I love that. I'm a big believer in the same. I think that putting off things that you want to do or sacrificing parts of your life are no real life at all. I think if you're not enjoying the journey, at least that's how I interpreted, I think, what you just said.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I'm trying to, you know, learn to enjoy life more.
Awesome. Well, you can't go wrong with that. So I'm really excited to hear how that's played into your story and kind of the background on you. So awesome. Thank you for that. So Helen, as you know, I like to start off the show with a motivational quote. And this is something that has helped you along your journey or perhaps in your life. It helps keep you focused and driven or just keeps you sticking to it when it's hard to. So for you, what do you have for us today?
It's tomorrow starts today. I actually had that put on a necklace because we're all, you know, people who want to make changes in their life often like, well, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it tomorrow. And I still sometimes do that myself. So I have to remind myself, tomorrow starts today. Don't wait for tomorrow. It's not going to come. You got to start today.
I love it. I love that, that outlook. That goes really well with what you just shared about the wanting to enjoy your life and the way that you go about it.
Yeah.
Right on. Okay. So thank you for that, Helen. That's a new one, and I am going to be jotting that one down to share as well. So I like to go back to the very beginning in these stories, Helen. So in your case, when did your weight gain begin? And now that you've had the opportunity to look back, what do you think were some of the factors that contributed to it?
Well, my actual weight gain probably started a little bit when I was a teenager. First, you know, as girls would, you know, always feel like they're overweight. And I wasn't overweight for a long time. I would exercise and you know, but I wasn't eating right. But when you're a teenager, you could eat whatever you want. And then I used food as a coping mechanism because I had a lot of stress going on as a teenager. So I gained a little bit of weight, but then I would take it off. I would gain and then take it off. There was a time when I was about 17, 18, I really started to gain some weight. I moved here. I grew up in Norway. So I moved first to Texas and then I moved to California. And then I started working and I felt more confident. And then I started to lose weight and got a little bit back in shape. I actually started to teach aerobics when I was 19 years old.
Wow.
And then I moved in with my roommate, who turned out to be my future husband, and he had food in the house. Now, when I was living on my own, I also didn't have a lot of money for food. So it's really easy to stay slender when you have no money for food.
Yeah.
So once I moved in with him and he had food, and then we had another roommate and he had food, and then I kind of started, oh, look, there's food. I can eat this. And then I encountered quite a bit of stress. And I just, from there, I pretty much started to pile on the pounds little by little by little, year after year.
Okay. So it sounds like you had not had the experience of, I guess, abundance, right? Like, you just didn't know what it was like to have anything around and not really have to make a decision on whether to eat or not. And all of a sudden, you're in this bright new, shiny environment where there's things to eat at every turn. A couple of things in there that jump out to me, and I'll put off my questions a little bit because I'm really excited to hear kind of where this goes and how your story transformed there. So from this point in your life, and I want to ask this before we go any further too, is what peak weight did you get to? What was your highest?
I was about 200 pounds, and I'm 5 feet tall. So, if you're 5'10", that's not that horrific. But yeah. When you're 5 feet tall, 200 pounds is a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that. That really helps kind of get an idea of the proportion. Okay. Okay. So what was life like at that weight, at that size? It sounds like this was early in life. This was like your late teens, early 20s. So you're coming into your own. You're out on your own in a brand new country, it sounds like. So a lot going on in your life. How did your weight impact your quality of life?
Well, in the beginning, when I was younger, it would fluctuate a little bit up and down. And then in my 20s, I went up to about 160, and then I would go down. My serious weight gain really didn't start until pretty much after my first child. I mean, I was always like between 20 and 40 pounds overweight, but I didn't get to I eventually gained about 90 pounds. And that didn't happen really until probably I had kids, because it was stressful to have children. I was running a business. I had little kids, and I was then in an unhappy marriage, but I had no way of getting out. And so I put myself on hold. I would spend all my time taking care of my business, taking care of the kids, taking care of work. And then there was like nothing left for me. So how I would handle it is I would just go and I would eat in the evening, when everybody had gone to bed, I'd eat and I would, just kind of do something for me.
Yeah. It sounds like that was because of your situation. It wasn't really a time where you could get away to spend time with yourself. So you turn to the closest thing, and that's, in that case, food, it sounds like.
Yeah. And it was that moment where, I could just, there's something magical about, that little moment when you're eating, cookies or chocolate and you have that for you. And so I just, I would sit there, and I wrote this, I think in a blog post at one point, I would sit there and I would eat like ice cream, with a whole gallon. I would just sit there with a spoon, and then I would look, and suddenly I could see the bottom of the ice cream container. And I would just like, and I would sit there going, what am I doing? But I was powerless to break away because I didn't know how to fix my life, and I didn't know how to make things better for myself.
Yeah. There's something that I'm getting out of this too, and you are by no means the only person who has fought this battle and struggled with it, is that you're eating and kind of the overeating and the weight gain didn't stem out of like not knowing, how to stay slim. This was rooted in something else going on in your life. Like, there was stress. There was perhaps some emotional issues going on. There was just something else at the root of it. So, and the reason I point this out is one of the things that I hear from people who are trying to help or persuade or push people they know who are overweight is, well, this is what you need to do. These are the five things you need to eat or not eat or whatever it is. So it's all tactics, when at the root of it, and my observation has been, there's something far deeper and kind of really deep inside that person that's driving the behavior. And it sounds like in your case, the eating was just an outward symptom of something that was going on really deep inside with you.
Yeah, and that's definitely the case with me, because having been a fitness instructor, and then when I was a teenager, I was weightlifting. I would weightlift and then would overeat, and I would weightlift and I would overeat. But when you're a teenager, you can do that because you eventually burn it off. So I knew how to eat. I knew how to exercise, but I gave up on myself. I think I was waiting, I think, just to die. I was waiting for my life to be over because I was so unhappy. So I was filling my time with taking care of everybody else and then eating.
Such a dark, dark place from the sound of it. And, unfortunately, I think a lot of people can relate. I've certainly been through dark patches in my life. I've been through a divorce as well. And I know the feeling of seeing the bottom of that, like the ice cream bowl, and being like, this is not something I want to be doing or a place I should be right now. But it's hard to escape when you're in that dark place. So I don't want to dwell on that too much. But
sorry.
I completely get it. And the reason I want to draw a real clear picture of that is, I think for one, a lot of people can relate. And with everything else that we're going to cover today, I want to really show that it's possible to come back from that. You're not stuck in a pit that you can't escape, right? Clearly, you and I are talking today because you beat that. You turned right. things around, and you've done something really amazing, which we're going to share some more about here in a little bit. So now that we've painted a real clear picture of kind of what was going on and its impact on your life, let's switch gears a little bit. So eventually, something changed, right? You went from this dark place with a lot of really stressful things in your life to another path. So what was it that happened and put you on this new path? Was there an event or a moment or just some kind of realization? What was that for you?
Yeah, there was an event, and it is a dark event, but then we'll get to the positive on the other side. My father became ill with lung cancer, and he was with me. He was staying with us, and I was taking care of him, you know, and the kids and the business. And that year, or actually the 5 months, it was aggressive lung cancer. So about 5 months, he finally passed away. But like most people, I kept thinking, well, like tomorrow, or things will get better. Anyway, when my father was laying on the hospital bed and he was dying in front of me, and he passed away, and I was at that moment, I realized, you know what? I'm here. I'm mortal. I am going to die someday, and might be sooner rather than later. Yeah. And I'm going to die without having done any of the things that I wanted to do with my life. I was passing time doing nothing that I had wanted to do. And his death really made me realize, you know, I have to make a change now or die.
Wow. So were you close with your father? I mean, I've been through something similar, and just kind of hearing this and what you went through have taken me back to kind of another time as well. Now, what was your relationship with your dad? I want to get a taste of that too.
I was close to him after my children were born. We lived in two different countries growing up. He lived here. I lived in Norway. Wow. And I came back to the States when I was 18. I lived with him for a while. Okay. And then I would, you know, I would see him every now and then. But after I had kids and he bonded with my kids, and we started to bond more, then I got closer to him. And he was so happy. He was like a breath of fresh air. He would get up in the morning and go, "It's a beautiful, gorgeous day." And I'm thinking, "Are you on crack?" You know, because he was just a very happy, basic person. He brought a lot of light into the world.
Oh, that's awesome to hear. I think everyone needs that figure in their life and that person to kind of help do that. So I'm very sorry that you lost your father that way. I lost my dad to bone cancer, and I had a very similar moment when he was on his way as well. So I really feel for you and kind of where you were at that time. But that said, I'm very happy that you took that as kind of the thing to flip the switch and move you into another direction and kind of change your life from there. So what did life look like from that day forward? Like, what were the first things you did? What did it look like from that day on?
Well, for the first month, I really, really didn't make any changes because I was just wallowing and, you know, feeling sorry for myself, being sad that he'd passed away. And after about a month, I don't know what really happened. I didn't really make much of a conscious decision, but what I thought was, you know, I'm just going to try to eat a little bit healthier. I was a vegetarian who did not eat fruits or vegetables.
Okay. how did that work exactly?
Well, brownies, cookies, chips, you know, cheese, whatever else. So what I decided, just slowly, I would start adding some fruits or vegetables into this vegetarian, non-vegetarian diet. And so I decided to just try, you know, take little baby steps. Yeah. And at that point, when I was like starting to make healthier choices, I decided I just want to become healthier. Forget losing weight. I'll never lose weight. I've failed a million times. I'm going to throw that concept out of the window. But I need to become healthier. If I'm going to stay around and if I'm going to live, I need to be healthier. And so I started to make little tiny baby steps, adding vegetables. And then I started to walk the kids to school, you know, it was a mile each way, and just slowly start to build exercise into my life without actually trying to lose weight.
Right on. So those are, in my opinion, some great kind of intro steps because they're not very jarring to your current lifestyle, right? They're like transitional steps. They're not things that kind of turn your whole world upside down. Okay, so you were introducing vegetables into your diet. You were starting to walk your kids to school, which is a great bonding activity as well, I think.
Yeah.
So probably other benefits from doing that besides the help with your weight too. Very cool. So what did the first couple months look like? as you were gaining, I guess, confidence from, you know, making this, these couple of changes, what kind of new changes did you add in? How long did that take? Like, what else was going on in the early months?
Well, after about a month, I started to feel like I had a little more energy, which would make sense because I'm actually fueling my body and I'm, you know, working out a little bit. So then I got this DVD from Tammy Lee Webb called I Want That Body. And this was back then, this was, you know, when you had to get your exercise videos on DVD. And so in the morning, it was really great the way it was broken up and it wasn't too hard for a beginner. So I would do like 20 minutes every morning. I would get up at 5:30 before the kids got up. I would have my green tea. I would put on the DVD and I would do like 20 minutes every morning of Tammy Lee Webb. And then I would walk the kids to school.
Right on. So eating way better, getting the steps in every day with your walking to and from school. And now you're introducing like actual, you know, exercise for the sake of activity and for, you know, specifically that purpose. Awesome. Okay. So what were you noticing going on with you? You mentioned having more energy. What was going on with you in terms of like maybe sleeping, confidence, mental clarity? Like what was shaping up in your life as you were making these changes?
Well, since I was focusing more on my health, I wasn't in that negative space of trying to lose weight, because that is a lot of pressure to think about, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that. I didn't force myself to do anything. I started to work these things in as new habits that weren't a punishment. So I started to feel a little more hopeful, but I also had a goal now, a goal of becoming healthier. So instead of stewing about the unhappy stuff over here, I would actually focus on, okay, I'm going to become healthier. In the back of my mind, I thought, maybe someday I'll be able to be a fitness instructor again. I thought, well, maybe not, but you know what? That's a little goal to have. Let's just try to get a little healthier. And after three, I didn't tell anybody, because, you know, when you tell people you're going to lose weight and then you fail. I'd done that so many times. So I didn't tell anybody. And I remember after about 3 months, I went to the mailbox and my neighbor came over and he goes, have you lost weight? And I said, yes, I've lost 29 pounds. And at that point, when I lost 29 pounds with just making basic lifestyle changes, I realized, you know what, maybe this time I'm actually going to make it. Maybe this time I will actually lose weight.
How did that feel? That moment of like seeing that there were just these gigantic, awesome possibilities in front of you and that you were well on your way to something maybe you didn't think you could achieve before.
That was like, it's almost like, and I actually use the phrase, reignite your pilot light, because that's what happened. It was like, I felt like something inside me had been reignited that had been dormant for so long.
That is awesome to hear. I kind of hear it in your voice from what your neighbor said and that, you know, kind of the excitement of someone noticing that. So what changed from there? Did you continue with the small changes? Were there new things that you introduced? Like, what was the kind of the gradual change in your approach over time? Because it sounds like the first almost 30 pounds was almost effortless. Like, this was the result of very kind of subtle changes in your life. So what did the next phase look like?
Well, at that point, when I'd gotten to that first, like, almost 30 pounds, I decided to just take it a little bit further. So then I cleaned up my diet a little bit more. Now, I did start every day with oatmeal, and I would put some chocolate chips in it, some 60% cocoa chocolate chips, because my theory was a day that starts with chocolate has to be a good day.
I like it.
So that would give me, then I would start looking forward to breakfast. Ooh, because I'm going to get some chocolate chips in there. And then I worked a little bit harder with the strength training, and then I'd always wanted to try a spinning class. And I don't know why I'd wanted to try that, but I did. And I'm like, I waited, and finally I was ready. This was about 4 months into it, and I took my very first spinning class, and I hated it and I loved it at the same time, because my legs, I was wearing these big slippery sweatpants. I was sliding off, you know, I was still 50 pounds overweight. And during the class, I felt like another whole like reigniting, like this is what it feels like to move. I remember this. This is what it feels like to work hard. I finished the entire class. I got off, you know, my legs were almost collapsing because they were so tired, but I felt like, again, like this pilot light had been ignited and I found something that I was passionate for, which means, you know, I can actually pull into myself and I can actually do this for an hour. This is something for me that's not destructive.
That is awesome. I hear that energy in your voice, and kind of, I can tell what that day was like for you just from hearing you kind of retell what that felt like. I completely can picture you in my mind. You were almost falling off the bicycle as you got off of it from, and I know that like jelly legs feeling at the end of when you have not been exercising for a long time and do it for the first time. So that sounds like a very exciting day and kind of a new milestone. So you're reigniting your pilot light, and you mentioned a while ago that this wasn't something that was alien to you either. Like, you'd had spent some time in the gym when you were younger, and so you knew what that environment was like. You knew, or had a good idea of what your body was capable of. So it sounds like this was a really exciting place where that possibility was open to you again. And maybe you hadn't thought before then that that was a place that you could get back to until this experience that day.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It reminded me of what my body could do and that I can actually push myself and not die. You know, I could I felt like it because my whole nether regions were all like tight, sore from spinning, you know, and, yeah. And I was like, my heart was pounding out of my chest. But it was that moment where you start to feel capable. As you already know, when you fail so many times at losing weight, you have so many quote unquote failures in your life. And these little successes, like, you know, you make it through a spinning class, those actually help tip the balance sheet. So things start to, you know, I think of it like a scale of justice. As you start putting a few more positives and positives on the one side, the scale starts to even out a little bit and you feel more successful and you get stronger emotionally.
I love it. I love it. And that last piece, I'm really glad you mentioned that too, is that you get stronger emotionally. So as we kind of referenced a little while ago, when things were going in the wrong direction for you, kind of the place you were in life was dark, and that was your outlook, and that was probably the way your body felt as well. So here you are, well on your way down a new path, feeling really charged up. You're marching in a much better direction. You're looking at new possibilities. How was your, you know, was life all roses and flowers at the time, or was it still as life is, but you just had a much better kind of outlook on it and way to deal with the stress?
It was a much better outlook. Everything was the same for the most part. Mm-hmm. I also started cycling. So early in the mornings, on like Sunday mornings at 6 a.m., some friends and I would gather and we'd start to ride. Mm-hmm. You know, I've ridden 60 miles through to Solvang. I bicycled 100 miles from Irvine to San Diego.
Wow.
I did different things like that just to show myself that I could. But the stronger I became emotionally, back to where I used to be,
yeah.
Unfortunately, and this happens in any situation, when one partner changes and the other partner doesn't change, it's going to cause problems. And it did eventually cause problems because even though I wasn't gone very much, I took the kids with me to the gym. I fulfilled all my obligations. I think my ex-husband eventually felt threatened by the fact that I was changing. I wasn't changing anything in our relationship, but I was changing myself.
Yeah. It's a weird and interesting dynamic the way that happens. Unfortunately, yeah, you're right. That's a common problem. I've seen firsthand couples where someone has kind of that the same way. They have that fire reignited in themselves and they start paying a lot closer attention to their health and their fitness. And in a lot of cases, you know, the way they dress and the way they groom themselves, because there's kind of a new confidence with what you're experiencing. And the other person can either ride that wave with them and be really supportive and encouraging and happy for them. And kind of, you know, the way I look at it is you can take pride in a partner that is doing that, right? That really cares about themselves and you love to see them improving themselves, or in some cases you can try to fight the current. That doesn't, in a lot of cases, that doesn't end really well. And it sounds like, unfortunately, that's the direction that your circumstances went as well.
Yeah, in my particular case, that's what happened. But I know a lot of people in my circles who have lost quite a bit of weight and their partners are very supportive and everything is better than it ever was. So it really depends on your relationship, your dynamic, and your partnership. It can be done if both people are open to, you know, that someone's improving their lives. I didn't improve my life to leave. I didn't improve my life for another man. I improved my life for my health and for my kids and for the future.
Well, good. You're doing it for all the right reasons. Unfortunately, you know, that I'm sorry to hear that the relationship went the way that it did. But as with a lot of changes, big changes in life, sometimes, as people say, some things happen for a reason. So let's look at what came out of your learnings over that period of time. So I want to transition a little bit into what you've discovered about diet, nutrition, exercise, all of that stuff throughout this journey for you. You know, were there things that you went into this not knowing that you have now discovered and you'd like to share?
Yeah, I think the biggest difference is when I was younger, and especially in those early aerobic days, you know, you had to push, 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 jump, jump, jump. Mm-hmm. Everybody was like, you know, you have to be militant. You have to. I was on every diet in the book, you know, when I was younger, the Atkins diet, the the grapefruit diet. Everything was so extreme. Yeah. And even now we think about, you know, all these extreme measures that people go to lose weight. But I am discovering as I'm also getting older that you don't have to be so extreme. And actually you can get fit with smaller amounts of exercise, and you don't have to, you know, never eat a slice of pizza again. I'm learning that a lot of the rules that I thought were rules are actually myths, and you can incorporate exercise and eating healthier into your life without completely giving up everything or sacrificing every minute of the day.
Right on. So I know people's ears are perking up at this because you just said you can stay healthy with even almost working out less. So tell us a little bit more about that. I know someone out there is just grabbing their pen and paper and going, okay, tell me more about this working out less, but still seeing results thing. So share with us a little bit about what you've learned about that.
Well, consistency in general is very important, mm-hmm. but I've actually learned, because I'm busy, I run a business, and I do a lot of other things. I spend too much time sitting in front of my computer, so I don't always have these blocks of time, like an hour. I teach spinning, that's my cardio, but for strength training, which is really important, especially as we get older, I don't have a lot of time to work out. So what I do is I actually set my timer for 55 minutes on the computer, and then I get up, and sometimes I'll take a break and I'll do like 3 or 4 sets of bicep curls. I'll sit back down again. I'll work another 55 minutes. Timer goes off. I get up and maybe I'll do push-ups until my muscles are fatigued. Yeah. The secret is that you can go shorter, but you want to work hard. You're not going to be lifting 3 pounds. That's not going to change your body. You want to lift hard enough, or you want to work hard enough to where your body, your muscles are starting to feel tired in a shorter amount of time.
So it's more about the intensity during those small bursts of activity. Is that right?
Yeah, the intensity and the consistency, keeping it going. Yeah. Because we don't need to spend an hour or 2 hours at the gym. I know people who spend 2 or 3 hours at the gym a day. But if you're working hard enough, you've seen the people walking on the treadmill at or they're sitting there and they're reading a magazine. Sitting or reading a magazine on the elliptical or on the bicycle is not going to be hard enough. You're pretty much wasting your time. You're just getting a little blood flowing. Mm-hmm. Shorter, focused bursts where you work hard, your heart feels it, your muscles feel it, that's really the key, I think, to getting in shape in a short amount of time. I'm not talking like really high intensity. You can do jumping jacks, you can do burpees, but you don't have to. Because I don't like jumping jacks. You know, it's like my knees, my back, I'm 48. I don't want to do jumping jacks. But there's a lot of things you can do to elevate your heart rate. And then those little bursts, when you work hard, even if it's just strength training, you'll feel like, you know, your metabolism comes up, your blood will start pumping, your heart will start pumping, but you're not going to get overly sweaty. These are things you could do at the office when nobody's, even if you're in a cubicle. You can do squats, you can do lunges, you can do those things that will bump your heart rate up throughout the day, but at the end of the day, you might have worked out for 30 minutes. Or sometimes I'll do 15 minutes in the morning, I'll do 15 minutes at night. That's 30 minutes a day. But who really doesn't have time for like 2 10- or 15-minute sessions? We all can squeeze that in. We may not be able to squeeze 30 minutes straight or an hour.
I like that. And I'm really glad that you shared this approach too. There are a lot of people, I think, who have leaned on that. I don't think there's a friendlier word, but that excuse for a long time and said, I just don't have the time, right? I'm a busy mother. In your case, I'm running a business and, you know, you sit for a long time. It's hard to dedicate that hour every day, that 2 hours every day to the gym, to physical activity, but you found a way. And I think what you're describing is something anyone can do, right? You've outlined push-ups, body weight squats, lunges, all stuff that doesn't require equipment. It just requires you and a floor, right? So you can get up from your desk and do this. And I really like the other thing you shared in there too about not sitting for too long and using a timer to kind of remind yourself to get up and be active. I actually read recently that it's more dangerous to sit for too long than it is to not do physical activity. Now, I know that sounds like kind of the same thing, but it's like it's more dangerous to just be sedentary than it is to just be standing and not moving.
Yeah, no, I actually just learned, similar to what you learned, I actually learned that your risk of diabetes increases the more you sit. It doesn't matter what your other physical activity is if you spend your entire day sitting. And I thought that was kind of shocking, but it makes sense.
Yeah, it's a scary thing what the numbers look like for even life expectancy and things that you're at risk for if you just sit for too long. So I love the timer idea. I think that's something a lot of people can benefit from doing, myself included. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I think it's really important to point out too that your approach is proof of the cumulative effect of short bursts of exercise. You don't have to dedicate hours every day. You do what you can in little pockets of time throughout the day. And like you said, you reach the end of the day and all that time is added up to 30 minutes, 45 minutes, whatever it is. In the end, that's all you need, right? Get your heart rate up every day, get some movement, don't sit for too long. In your case, I don't think we've even mentioned at this point, Helen, how much have you lost?
I lost 80 pounds originally. It took me about 10 months with those little changes that I talked about and then starting to spin. And then I went through, when my divorce, I went through a little period where I, you know, kind of got down in a funk again. I gained about 18 pounds. Mm-hmm. So I've been actually taking that off little by little. But because I went back to my other thinking, like, okay, this was before I started the burst of exercise. It's like, okay, I don't have an hour to work out, so I'm just going to eat these cookies. Mm. It doesn't make any sense. But that's how I was thinking for a while there. And then I got myself back on track. And now with this little burst exercise that I'm doing, in the last 3 weeks, I've lost 6 pounds. You know, I'm really trying to get back to where I was. It's so easy for all of us to get off track. One little thing pushes us off track. So I'm really starting to incorporate these things back into my life, and it's working.
You touched on something there, and that's awesome that you have course corrected and gotten back on that path. Now, that leads me to something else I want to ask you is, how have you kept yourself focused and motivated? You mentioned something that's very real, and that's that we can, I'm not sure if distracted is the right word, but we can lose sight of what we're trying to work toward, right? And start making those questionable decisions in those weak moments between exercise or having that cookie or whatever the thing is in everyone's case. How have you kept yourself focused? And, you know, what were some of the things that you kept in mind along the way?
Well, one of the things that really helped me is the fact that I teach spinning and I have to show up in spandex 4 days a week. That's kind of motivating. I'm like, oh, I ate too much. Oops. But it's, for me, it's finding new goals because, you know, when I first started this and I would get fitter and I had all these little physical fitness challenges in my head, you know, when I rode 100 miles and I took these fitness classes, I would go to conventions. And after a while, you know, as with everything, that gets kind of old and I kind of lost track of the physical things. There was no more physical goal. So what I try to do is I try to change my goals a little bit differently, you know, so that way I still have, I exercise towards something specific. One of my clients, I do personal training, but I only have a few clients. They're my favorites. She has really terrible balance and she's very overweight. And she had a grandchild and she wanted to be able to play with her grandchild, but she also wanted to be able to go back to water sports. So we practiced. She could go up and down and she could not sit on the floor. She could not get up. She had terrible balance. And then a few months ago, she sent me a picture of her paddleboarding.
Oh, wow.
And it was a video and I almost cried when I saw her paddleboarding because we worked on her balance. We worked on her leg strength, on her arm strength, so she could get out on that board and paddle. And like that's what this was all about, is getting her to the point where she can do things that she enjoyed. And it's the same thing with me, is I want to try new physical challenges. Yeah. So I want to move towards a goal. I don't need to just worry about, you know, my butt being perkier. I need to be able to be physically balanced. I need to be able to do functional movements.
Yeah. That is awesome to hear. I can hear the excitement in your voice, and I can imagine what a life-changing thing it was for her to be able to participate in that kind of stuff. And that's just like you mentioned, it's so awesome that she did that for the right reasons too, and that it was, you know, to get more quality out of her life and, you know, spend time with her grandchildren, engage in new activities. And for you too, you know, you've mentioned a couple of times now that you're doing this to get healthy. And I haven't heard once from you that you were shooting for a specific number or a specific body fat percentage or like to fit in such and such outfit or anything like that. Like, your goals are around health, longevity, how you feel, and not around like some arbitrary number that you were trying to reach toward. Well, was that always the case, or was that something that you've discovered throughout your journey?
Well, that was the case when I went on, when I first started this journey. It still is the case. When I was younger, I was focused very much on numbers. Mm-hmm. When I first lost the weight, I got a little bit too thin, because when you first start losing weight, you get excited and you get on this, you know. Uh-huh. And I mean, I look good in pictures, but then you take 10 pounds off and you realize I was a little too thin. But then you kind of balance things out. But for me, it's a matter of fitting into the clothes that I have, not having to buy new clothes, just being healthier and being able to tackle anything that comes my way physically. I can hike. I can do things. I can go for hours hike. I can, if I wanted to get back on my bike, I could get there tomorrow and I could ride 60 miles. You know, I wouldn't enjoy it as much anymore, but I could do it. Yeah. if I had to. I can try new things physically. I'm going to be trying yoga. It's all about feeling better and feeling confident and happy with who we are. And I think as we get older, especially women, we stop caring so much about what we look like and what people think about us. And we just try to live the best life we can. I will never have a six pack, and because I lost a lot of weight, I have extra skin on my stomach, which is always a concern, but I don't care. My life is no different if I have a six pack or not.
Yeah, it's a great point. I'm really glad you shared that too. Like, you're doing this for the right reasons. Like you said, you feel energy, you feel confident, you feel strong and healthy. And I hear all of that in your voice. And that has nothing to do with, again, whether you have a six pack or how you look in a swimsuit or any of that stuff. Like, the things that matter, I think, are the things that you focused on. I'm really glad you shared that. That is awesome to hear.
Yeah, because we just get so obsessed about our looks. And I look at my ex-mother-in-law, who used to walk and do all kinds of things. And then she stopped and she would sit in her chair and she would watch TV. And it got to the point where she's been in a wheelchair now for about a year and a half. She wouldn't have needed to be in a wheelchair because there's nothing physically wrong with her, but except she stopped doing the basics of the exercise. Her muscles got too weak to support her body. And so I don't want to be there, you know, because she's such a dynamic, vibrant woman. She's so smart, but yet, you know, her body can't support where she needs to be anymore. And my great aunt in Norway is 86 years old, and she can outwalk me every day, rain, snow. She's out there walking. She's so full of life and energy. You know, she could probably outcycle me if she had a bike. And she's amazing. And I look at her and I look at the difference. These are two women a year apart from each other. And there's completely two different lives. I don't want to be in a wheelchair. You know, I want to be like my great aunt. I want to be able to walk with great, great grandkids.
I love it. I think those are all the right reasons. And you highlighted something really, really important there too, is where we end up in those sunset years is the culmination of a lifetime of choices, right? To end up to where you can't support your own body weight and you have to be in a wheelchair. I mean, that's significant loss of muscle density and muscle and that capability over time. That's not, in most cases, something that happens very quickly. So in the case of, you said your great aunt in Norway?
Yeah.
Okay. In the case of your great aunt, like, she would not be able to outwalk you and probably outbicycle you and be as active as she is today if she had not developed habits over years and years that have kept her strong, have kept her limber, have kept her full of energy. And so those are choices and decisions we make every day, like wherever, you know, and this is my soapbox now. I think there are a lot of people listening right now who are very different points in their life and on their journey. And if you're 60, if you're 50, if you're 21, like, all every decision you make today, tomorrow, you're going to get the result of that decision when you're older. So, you know, think about where you want to end up. If you want to be that person who can't maintain their own body weight, can't walk up a flight of stairs without pain, needs a wheelchair, or if you want to be like your great aunt, who is in fantastic shape and full of energy and really still living a fantastic life from the sound of it. And I think you're well on your way. You're a great example of what's possible, making even small changes throughout the day and throughout your life. So I'm really glad you shared that. That is awesome to hear about all of you.
Yeah, when you make those little changes every day, they're not that hard to maintain, and then you will be able to stay with it. When we do all these drastic changes, we can't stay with them. We revert back to old habits, and then we end up later on with problems. So just, even though you may go for a 15-minute walk, you know, a 15-minute walk every day, you become my great aunt.
So let's flip gears here a little bit and let's talk a little bit about your eating habits. In terms of nutrition, like, how many times do you eat a day? You know, is it the typical three meals? Do you snack? What does a typical go-to dinner or meal look like for you? Like, let's dive into that world a little bit.
Well, I'm a grazer because I hate to be hungry. And that probably stems from being young and not, you know, when I went through periods of time where I did not have a lot of food. And I think for me, I don't like the feeling of being hungry. So I graze throughout the day. I stopped being a vegetarian about 2 years ago, thinking it would give me more energy because I was working a lot, very tired. That did not help me. So apparently that's not the problem. So I'm thinking of, you know, reverting back to it because I don't like meat. I eat a lot of fruits and veg. I mean, more vegetables than anything else. And I eat lean proteins. And I try to make sure that I start my morning. I have a protein pancake and it's about 30 grams of protein. And I make sure every morning I start with that because then I'll have energy for the rest of the day. I eat a little bit of snack, like a hard-boiled egg, a piece of string cheese, or I'll do like half an apple with some almond butter. I eat lunch. Usually lunch is some kind of a salad with a protein and a really light dressing or just balsamic vinegar. and then another snack in the afternoon. And then, you know, for dinner, I'll have, so again, something vegetables with a protein. I will have, you know, I have little Ghirardelli 60% chocolate squares. Sometimes I'll break a half of them off in the afternoon, but I put a little bit of almond butter on it to kind of slow the sugar's absorption. You know, I try to make sure that I enjoy what I eat. And so when we have pizza with the kids, I'll have pizza. I'll probably now add a light salad next to it before the vegetables. I'm trying to really get my vegetables in because I actually don't like vegetables. If I had my choice, I would eat nothing but pastries. I don't know, nachos and pizza. I'd be happy. But for my health, I can't do that.
Yeah. That's very human. I think I'm laughing because I know the feeling. I was that kid at the dinner table growing up where I would sit there for an hour after everybody finished eating because I didn't want to eat my green beans or my Brussels sprouts or whatever it was on the plate. So you're saying that you dislike vegetables and you could just have pastries every day. That's me to a T. I completely agree with that. In the same vein, I've had to try really hard and find creative ways to get vegetables into my diet. And for me, that's like juicing or like dressing them up with a little almond butter or something like that, just like you have. And these are all great suggestions you made too. The protein pancakes, those are a favorite of mine. The almond butter on an apple, that's a fantastic go-to snack for me as well. So let's talk about a little bit of the creative ways you've been able to get more vegetables in your diet.
Well, like, you know, through the salads are helpful. I make soup too, where I put a lot of vegetables. I chop them really fine and I put them in there. And that way I don't really notice them as much. I eat them like I'll have a pan and I'll put a little bit of olive oil and then I'll put vegetables on it and do some salt and pepper. Just like try to make sure that I eat my vegetables first before I eat the rest of my meal. And then I kind of sit down and, you know, enjoy the rest of my meal. But I just try to work it in so I know every day has vegetables in there. I do like raw carrots. So I'll eat raw carrots throughout the day. And I just, not that I don't like them, but I don't love them. I don't enjoy them. And so I dress them up, pepper with a little bit of cream cheese inside, and you bake that. I love cheese. So anytime I can throw cheese on vegetables, just like with my kids were little, you know, the broccoli with the melted cheese on top, not real cheese, but you know, I try to disguise it when I can.
Yeah. Adds a little extra flavor that kind of, I guess, makes it seem like you're not eating vegetables in some cases.
Yeah.
It's funny. I just had last night, this is something creative I've been exposed to in the last year and I love it. Cauliflower mashed potatoes. You steam them or boil them and throw them in a blender and just turn them into mush. And you add like a little bit of garlic and some cheese. It comes out tasting fantastic.
If you serve
it to someone, they almost won't know the difference in a lot of cases unless you haven't blended it well enough. But it tastes great. It tastes and looks just like mashed potatoes, but it's from cauliflower. So for me, that's been a fantastic way to get a lot more cauliflower in my diet. So that's a go-to for me that you just reminded me of.
That's a great idea. I should try that.
Well, awesome. So I got a good idea of how your diet is put together. You gave us some great ideas there. I think some great suggestions that a lot of people, I hope, will go and try. Let's switch gears here a little bit to, you know, looking back and sharing some advice with people who are starting their journeys out there. So one last look here back at your journey. And I want to ask you, Helen, if you, this might be an unusual question, but if you had the ability to hop in a time machine and go back years and years to before you started this journey, perhaps to when things were at their darkest in your life, or even before that maybe, and have a conversation with the Helen from back then, what is something you would tell her that maybe she needed to hear to get started sooner or to believe in herself or to make those changes sooner in life? Like, what do you think were some of the things that you wish you had heard back then?
Probably don't give up and try to make little steps. Don't take everything in black and white. It's okay if you have a cookie. You don't have to eat the entire box. You know, you can have one. It'll be okay. It's not going to blow your diet. Look at the bigger picture. Look at your health rather than trying to lose weight. You know, don't obsess about the scale. Don't obsess about what you're eating because then you go to extremes and just try to take a moment to enjoy life. And my very last summer before my father passed away, for the first time ever, I went to the beach wearing a bathing suit because I thought, you know what? This is me. This is how I look. And if you don't like it, too bad. And the world did not come to an end. Nobody even looked at me. Nobody cared. And that was like my first moment of freedom. I'm like, look, I'm in a bathing suit and everybody around me is still alive and they can still see.
That is, you know, you used the perfect word. That's exactly what it is it's freedom. You're no longer, I guess, in fear or worried about the judgments of people around you. And I focus on this because I hear that same sentiment about people who are stepping into a gym, for example, for the very first time. And they're worried about what people around them are thinking and looking at them and you know, maybe the judgments they're making. But everybody's in their own heads. People are living their own lives. If they glance at you for a second, they're on to the next thought. And just like you said, the world didn't end. You had the freedom to just go about your day and feel great, I'm sure. So I'm really glad you shared that. I think that that moment is something I hope a lot of people can get to.
And I think even if it's important for people to know that even if somebody does, if you're at the gym and somebody does judge you, it doesn't matter. Their opinion doesn't matter. You don't know about it. What do you care? You know, you're there for your health and for you. What other people think about you doesn't matter. You could be sitting at home on the sofa watching TV, or you could be at the gym. Their opinions don't matter. They have small lives. They're obsessed with their bodies. You just go and work on yourself, and you have just as much a right to be there as they do.
Absolutely. Great advice. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So, Helen, there are a lot of people listening to this who are back at the beginning of their journey. They're staring up the staircase. They're trying to either work up to take that first step in their life, or maybe are just taking that first step today. Maybe they're listening to you today, and this is kind of the first thing on their journey to get them started. So all that to ask for the person out there listening, getting fired up listening to you, hearing the possibilities, wanting to make some change deep, some real change in their life. What's one tip you would suggest for that person to start doing today to get started down a healthier path?
Make a small step, make a new habit every day or every week. Don't try to do too much, because in all reality, if you only losing a pound a week is actually fairly easy, and it doesn't seem like a lot, but in 52 weeks, you will have lost 52 pounds. If you try to lose 3 pounds in a week, you're going to have to sacrifice too much, and it's going to be too hard to maintain. Where were you exactly a year ago? Probably in the exact same spot where you are today, if not heavier. That's what happened to me, because you tried too hard. Don't try as hard. Even a half a pound a week in a year is still 26 pounds, if my math is right.
It sure is. And I think that's very, very wise advice. The small things really do add up.
And focus on something other than your weight. Have a goal. Yes. 6 months, a year from now. If you want to go hiking, map the route. Find out where you want to go. If you want to, you know, go snorkeling or diving, work towards that. Don't just focus on your weight. Have a goal, a physical goal that's attainable, that you have to work towards.
Right on. All great advice. Thank you so much for sharing that, Helen. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
These days, I know that you blog, and I want to share that with people here in just a moment. But what are your goals at this point? Are you working on any further loss? Is it 100% maintenance, strength building, or what is it you're working on and excited about these days?
Oh, right now I'm working on those 18 pounds that I gained. So I'm down, like, I have like 12 left to go. I want to get into the clothes that I was wearing. I mean, most of them fit, but muffin topping a little bit here on. So I kind of want to fit into those. I don't want to buy new clothes. I don't care if they're 5 years old, you know, and I want to actually start doing something different. I want to try yoga. I want to move. I do a lot of strength training still. You know, I fit it in throughout the day. Like I said, I have a lot of muscle. Now I really would like to work on my flexibility, and I'd like to shift away a little bit and try more like mind body type like yoga, because having been younger, I was a gym rat. I'm always focused on cardio strength training. Mm-hmm. I would like to do something a little more different and gain some more flexibility.
Right on. Yeah, I think that's a great choice. I've actually been thinking about doing a lot more mobility related things. I've been focused on strength for a long time, as have you. I think that's mm-hmm. a good progression. And as we've mentioned a couple of times now, for, you know, people who have their eye on a healthy, active later part of their life, that's a great move to be making early as well, is to look at your mobility and your flexibility.
Yeah, definitely. Plus you get good abs from yoga.
I've heard nothing but good things from people who are really dedicated to it. And I could be wrong about this now. This is probably dated information, but Sting, the performer, mm-hmm. has been like a diehard yoga person for years and years, and he's always been in fantastic shape. And to my knowledge, he's not involved in any strength training or anything like that. It's exclusively yoga. So just one example of my cursory knowledge of it, but a lot of good that'll come out of that. And I'm really glad to hear that you're exploring new things and still very excited about trying new things too.
Yeah, you have to keep changing it up. That's the one thing I tell people. If you get mired in the same thing over and over again, you're going to burn out. So try changing things up all the time, trying new things.
Right on. Helen, I want to take a moment here too to properly recognize anything that you have considered a helpful resource for you along the way. So were there any books that you think were very helpful that you'd like to share with listeners today? Perhaps any websites, videos, smartphone apps, anything that has been helpful to you or you're aware of and would like to recommend to others today?
Well, there's the website Spark People. They have a lot. It's free. They have a lot of resources there. They have an eating journal, which I haven't used yet, but there's a lot of forums and a lot of tips and a lot of exercises. There's also MyFitnessPal, and I use that every now and then. I don't like to track everything I eat because I don't have time and it puts too much obsession on it. But every now and then, for a week at a time, I would track what I eat, because sometimes you're not eating enough, and that's another big problem. You actually stop losing weight when you don't eat enough. So I have to spot check myself and make sure I'm eating enough, not too much, what the balance is. YouTube now has so many amazing videos, lots of 10-minute workouts, Fit Sugar, or is it Pop Sugar Fitness? Yeah. They have these little 10-minute classes that are really, really, really good. There's all kinds of videos now that were not available when I first started out, and everything's free. So you don't have to buy DVDs anymore. You can put together playlists, upper body, lower body, cardio. It's amazing what you can find out there. You can use them on your phone. You could put on your phone and take it outside. Yeah, it's tiny, but you could do, you know, you could do workout in your backyard. There's a lot of resources now that are free.
Right on. There's so much more available now than when I was going down my journey as well. Very cool. Thank you for sharing those. I've seen the Pop Sugar videos. Quite a few people have mentioned MyFitnessPal, and Spark People is a great resource that I discovered just a few months ago. And so many people taking advantage of that as well. I'm really glad you mentioned that.
Yeah. Cool. And it's all free. That's what I like. You don't have to spend a lot of money.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we wrap up here, I want to ask you one of my favorite questions, and it's kind of a shift from anything that we've discussed so far. And what it is when you are getting ready for your workouts, or you're, you know, getting fired up, maybe on the drive to the gym, what are some favorite songs of yours, Helen? Are there specific ones that have a special place for you because they energize you a little bit more, they put a little extra into your step? Like, what are the ones that do that for you?
Well, the one that just gets me ready to exercise and spin is actually Timber from Kesha and Pitbull, because that will really get you going. And when I'm feeling like, you know, like in class, I actually play a song called How Far We've Come. And I don't remember the artist, but I'll play it in class and I'll tell my students, you know, think back now to your very first spin class and look how far you've come. The song is not, of course, about that, but it's like, you know, we have to look back. We may not be happy with where we are today, but look how far you've come. So that, you know, I try to find things that are motivating. All American Rejects have a song called Move Along. Yeah. Whenever you feel like, you know, things aren't really going my way, I play that song and I'm no longer depressed. You know, move along. And on the other, you know, so I just have, and anything with a dance beat I like, and I just try different types of music. I like everything.
Right on. Some great recommendations there. The Move Along song, I haven't heard in a while, but I know the one you're talking about. That's a great one for a spin class and getting yourself moving.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. So Helen, thank you for those. I really appreciate that. I'll link those up with the show notes for this episode, so listeners can go check those out and get a taste of what your class is like.
Okay.
I want to thank you again for taking time out of your day today. The last 45 minutes of your time today, I think, is going to help a lot of people. And I sincerely appreciate you doing this, sharing this, and opening up to help other people. I think it's a fantastic thing to pay forward your experience and your knowledge the way that you are today. So thank you for that. Do you have, Helen, a parting thought you'd like to share with our listeners? And then if you can, and you would, share how our listeners can also reach out to you.
Sure. Like I said, with my, you know, my whole necklace, Tomorrow Starts Today, that whole thing of thinking about your life and every day counts and every meal counts. I think that's really important, to where we have choices to make every day. And it's okay to have a glass of wine or have some chocolate, but majority of your meals should be something that's going to move you physically ahead. And we really, if you eat a box of cookies, okay, who cares? Next meal, eat your salad. Don't beat yourself up. Just take advantage of that you're alive today, because I think a lot of us just always feel like our lives are temporary, you know, waiting for the real life to start. But, you know, our lives are here and now, in this very minute, and we need to make the most of our lives as we can.
I love it. I agree 100%. And I think that goes right back to your quote as well, and living your life to the fullest you possibly can. Awesome, Helen.
Yeah.
So how can listeners reach out to you and learn more about you and your journey, and perhaps read some of your writing as well?
Yeah, I have a blog at realworldweightloss.com, which makes sense because it's all about the real world. And I just blog, and I share recipes and I share stories. And I also have other people guest blog every now and then so that they can share their perspective.
awesome. Again, something fantastic I think you're doing to pay forward your experience and help others. That's awesome to hear. Helen, thank you so much again today. From everyone here at Tips of the Scale, thank you and enjoy the rest of your day.
You too. Thank you very much.
And there we have it, ladies and gentlemen. This has been episode 78 with Helen M. Ryan of HelenMRyan.com. Hope you enjoyed this interview. I had a great time talking to Helen, and you can find the show notes for our conversation at tipsofthescale.com/78 or scale.fm/78. Thanks for tuning in, Scale Warriors. I appreciate you. And as always, thank you so much for the reviews in iTunes and the great email and Twitter and Facebook feedback that you've been sending my way. I really appreciate it. If you have not shared any feedback and you'd like to, please go to tipsofthescale.com/love and let me know what you think. That'll do it for me this week. Thank you so much, Scale Warriors. Until next time, here's to your weight loss success.